Welcome back to Cracking the Spine. This is episode 29. Welcome back. I meant from the last episode you just listened to because you're binging them because you're so in love with this show. Everyone is laughing at me. I'm Josh.
You nailed it, dude.
Thank
I'm Sean.
You.
And that's Zane.
I'm Zane.
And if every episode we did was 1 year of Zane's life, Zane's 29, like the episode.
Yay.
Good one.
Thanks. I didn't actually didn't have one for today. I was like, I'm not going
to
do one.
That's hard
but then
to do
right before we started, Zane was like, that's how old I am. And I was like, there it is.
You can't divide 29 by any number.
Sure you can.
It's the only number indivisible under God.
It's the America of numbers.
29 states.
What was our 29th state?
Oh, that's a good question.
Depression? Acceptance? Oh, wait, no, those are the stages of...
Yes.
Easily confused with one another.
Grief, that's it.
The stages of doing this podcast.
I'm not at acceptance.
Yeah.
Not yet.
What am I?
Bargaining.
I'm still on the intro.
Welcome back.
Zane, have you started reading anything?
No.
That's okay. That's all right. You're the new Josh.
I'm the new Josh. I've been super, super busy. I was hoping I'd have time. I was hoping I'd have time to start something yesterday, but I didn't. But I do have a book lined up. It's the Chuck Palahniuk short stories.
Make Something Up?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which I have zero expectations for.
I gave up on it.
Yeah.
I read two of the stories and was like, yeah.
Will that affect you now that he said that? It's like poker. Now he knows. Now you
I
know
kind of already
hand.
Knew. It was like on my shelves and I was like, yeah, I'll read that.
Yeah, dude. I mean, you can't really ruin a Chuck Palahniuk novel for somebody. Like,
yeah, I guess
it's really
you're right.
gross and pervy.
Yeah.
There. I already read it.
Yeah.
But I'm going to try to read it anyway, if I ever get time.
I already read it.
See, you did read something.
Yeah, I did.
But it's a short story, so it's not exactly like a huge commitment.
Yeah, I know. Well, it is for me lately. Sean, what are you reading?
I finished Aurora, finally.
What happened?
Did you get super bummed out?
God, I want to know.
it's depressing. It's good.
Yeah.
It's like amazing. It's amazing science fiction.
God damn it.
It actually, I think it's better. I hate saying
Josh
this.
Has to read it.
I think it's better than Seven Eves.
Yeah.
In a lot
Whoa.
Of ways. And it's very similar kind of story, like future survival of the species kind of story. The science is unbelievable. The ideas in it are unbelievable, and it's so...
Unbelievably good, you mean, not unbelievable, like you couldn't believe in
that. No. Thank you. Unbelievably good. No, actually, totally believable.
Astoundingly
like, very,
good.
Very good science behind it, but just really paints a bleak future.
Well, you know, we're all gonna die.
Well, yeah, but...
that was last week's episode, Josh.
It's kind of this week's episode,
Update.
Too.
Update.
So, I'm actually rereading a book, it's a series.
You're the new Zane.
Oh my God.
Uh-oh. Odd man out. It's a series called The Newbery and Hobbes Investigations, and it's this like steampunk neo-Victorian like mystery kind of thing, like Sherlock Holmes kind of. Yeah, but it's like steampunk, so it's like Queen Victoria is being kept alive with like engines and like bellows
that's
and stuff.
That's actually not steampunk. That's how she was kept alive.
But I've read
historical. It's historical fact.
Five of them. The sixth one will be out in the fall. I've read the first four previously.
Okay.
But I wanted to read the fifth one, but then I picked it up and I'm like, I don't remember anything about these characters.
Well, yeah.
So I'm rereading The Immorality Engine, it's called.
What's that one about?
It's like a grown-up Hardy Boys. Like, it's just, like...
Well, that's kind of neat, though.
They, like, rush around from one crime scene to the next in a very... It's very British. Like,
have a dirigible?
There are dirigibles, and there are, like, land trains. Like, trains that run without tracks. And there are automatons and, like, clockwork spiders.
Okay, all right.
It's silly.
No,
I'm reading it at, like... triple the rate that I read the Aurora.
Oh, yeah.
Because there's nothing to it.
Right.
It's
right.
just very light, like, fluffy kind of stuff. Josh, have you made any headway?
I am so angry.
Headway?
I'm angry.
Uh-huh.
Headway?
I didn't get to...
Headway.
I get it.
Head full of ghosts.
Yes.
All right.
I'm, like, super angry. Today was my day.
Uh-huh.
But I had to do, like, a thing all day today. So I haven't started it. I'm jonesing, though. I'm super jonesing to read this book. I got... Got real into it.
Are you vegan again, though?
Am I what?
Vegging with us? Had to do vague? A thing today, being vague?
Well, I didn't want to, like, get into my, like, whole day with... I didn't know this was the
okay,
Josh's
so
day
you woke
podcast.
Up, then what?
I woke up, I had some coffee, I sat on the computer and did work for, like, 8 hours.
My head. I'm a whale, says, and had a
when show. I'm 29.
Just like this episode. Welcome back! So you haven't made... You
no, haven't I haven't, okay. I haven't, but it's... It's there, and I'm hurting.
It's one of those books, like, you start reading, and you're like, yeah. I really want to keep going.
Yes.
Yeah. We have there's a book club that meets here. They do science fiction, fantasy, and horror, like, mm-hmm. on a rotation.
That's cool.
And they just picked Head Full of Ghosts for they're all reading it now.
That's neat.
So, yeah.
I should finish it and then come in and spoil everything for them.
You could do that.
That would be something I would like to do.
You'd have to count on finishing the book before everyone else in the book club. True which story. Is not probable.
Seems unlikely, new Sean.
I'm going to go home.
All right. Tonight's topic was also brought to us by a listener.
A person.
A yes, guy or a girl.
I can tell everyone about after the break.
So let's go ahead and take that break right now. We'll be right back. Be the one to love you. Lie beside you. Hey, if you're listening to us on the Android or iTunes marketplace, please do give us a rating and possibly write a review. You can find us on Podomatic. We are crackingthespineshow.podomatic.com. You can find us on Facebook. Just search Cracking the Spine Show. You can find us on Twitter. We are @crackingspine. And if you want to email us, you can get to us at crackingthespineshow@gmail.com. Was there some corner that we turned, or
something about me that you learned? Welcome back again to episode 29 of Cracking the Spine. I'm still Zane again.
Welcome back, I'm Sean.
See you later, I'm Josh.
So today's suggestion was authors who have gone crazy.
Yeah.
Oh wait, that's a trigger word. I'm not supposed to say crazy anymore on the internet.
Wait, you can't say crazy?
Yeah, because people with mental illnesses, it diminishes them.
That makes me crazy!
Oh, that's right, you're not allowed to say, like, lunatic
anymore. No, so authors who...
Oh my god.
Seriously, dude. It's... Now I have to apologize.
Everyone stop thinking.
I'm all for people not being assholes, but at some point, when we start... like quibbling over every single word that
I am all for everyone being an asshole because that is true.
Right. Like, well, why should we try to hide our asshole nature?
I understand the sentiment of like, let's all stop acting and talking like assholes all the time, but at the same time, like, we.
People are crazy. People go crazy.
It happens. I'm not.
I'm sorry, I'm not arguing with you. I'm arguing with the straw
like,
man.
Quit yelling at me.
I'm yelling towards you.
Yelling.
I'm yelling in your direction because you're sitting next to me. Guys, Zane sits next to me.
Ugh.
Josh sits across from me.
I sit next to everyone.
Welcome back. So yeah, authors who have gone off the deep end.
Which was a suggestion made to us by our Twitter follower @RolandJordan.
But his real name is Jordan...
Jordan Etherington.
Jordan Etherington. Wow, that sounds like royalty.
It sounds like he belongs in that steampunk
novel. Jordan Etherington.
Yeah, right? He does look like a character.
Jordan Etherington, would you like to take the land train to the dirigible factory?
I've brought you my card on a silver plate. I've come a-calling. We have gotten off the rails already. 8 minutes in. So...
Authors that went crazy. All of them?
Yeah. Who didn't? I have a list of about 5 or 6 or 7 or 8 of
well,
them.
Well, who's the number one that comes to mind?
Number one, for me.
Go ahead.
The granddaddy of all crazy authors, and ironically, not crazy, Hunter S. Thompson.
That was the very first one that came to mind.
Not crazy?
He, I think, probably lived his life more honestly than any human being that's ever lived.
We've talked about him before and his, like, evolution over time.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think in the case of Hunter Thompson, it was less that he went, like, mental.
Yeah.
And more that he just got, which was what we talked about.
He got fed up
with it. He got angrier and angrier, and it, like, consumed him.
But I mean, I don't want to, again, like, I really don't want to sound like I'm diminishing things here. But I think if the end of your life story is suicide, I think mental illness certainly had a part to play in it.
Oh, I mean, probably.
Yeah, because but, I mean, I think of him as, he definitely, like, towards the end of his career, he was just off the rails.
Right.
But he was, like, a bigger version, like, a bigger, angrier version of the person that he'd always been.
Right, yeah.
Like, this was not someone who made a 180 in the middle of his life and was suddenly someone else, or...
Right, and he didn't have, like, a psychotic break. It was... Exactly, it was the circumstances, like, of his life pushed him to that
right.
Well, I'm glad conclusion. That you brought that up, because I think that this is in, like, a lot of authors. I don't think, like, you become crazy. I think, like, the reason why you're a good author or you're a good entertainer or a good rock star or movie star is because you have that in you. Like, there's a propensity to, you know, be prone to depression or be prone, like, the way your brain fires, it just, that's the way it works. Like, I don't know, Vincent Van Gogh was, like, super depressed and manic, and, like, he was a genius, you know? Like, I don't know, I think, like, that just is part of the model sometimes.
Because when you said, when you started with your whole, like, grandfather, like, daddy of them all, I thought you were going to say Ken Kesey.
I don't know. I don't know who's Ken Kesey.
One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest.
Oh, okay.
And the Electric Kool-Aid Acid Test. Who, you know, was actually, I mean, One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest is a book about being in a mental institution that he wrote based on his experiences in a mental institution. Yeah. You know, he was one of the guys that was taken by the CIA, and they experimented on his brain with, like, acid and shit.
Oh,
yeah. Like,
MK Ultra.
Yeah.
They did
that. And it, you know, like, I mean, it's hard to say who he was before he went in, but, I mean, you know, if you're talking about crazy, you know, the book is about being in a mental institution, and it's amazing. I mean, it's amazing writing. You know, I don't know if it's a prerequisite to be a great author that you have to have some sort of imbalance.
I don't think it's a prerequisite, but I think a lot of times,
well,
like,
I think it's kind of like being, like, a rock star or whatever. Like, maybe there's something about the nature of being an artist in that way that if you already have, like, if you already are leaning towards mental instability, that being an artist can push you over. Like, you know, the way that all, not all, but a lot of rock stars end up overusing drugs and alcohol and stuff. Like, it's a lifestyle that pushes you to it. And writing is it's a very isolated job.
Yeah.
And maybe that's part of it, is, like, you are stuck in your own head all day. That's your job.
Yeah.
Is to do that. And maybe if you already...
I was thinking about it. Like, I was thinking about, like, you know, rock stars are exposed to, like, chemicals because it's performance enhancing.
Yeah.
Right.
And I think that's true for authors.
Yeah.
But you're drunk because you, when, I don't know, like, when I used to write my papers drunk in college, I did great.
Right. I think that another thing that happens, though, and I think it's a product of the time. Maybe it's not a product of the time, because I bet it's been happening for as long as there have been, like, editorials and, like, papers. But we were kind of talking about it during the break. This idea that, like, little things can get so blown out of proportion.
Yeah.
Like, so, like, the one that comes to mind for me is Alan Moore, who wrote The Watchmen and V for Vendetta. And Alan Moore, from all accounts, is a prick.
Yeah.
And a lot of people, like, attribute it to him being, like, crazy.
Yeah.
Because, like, he won't watch any of the movies based on any of the stuff that he's written.
Right.
He recently, actually this summer, like, in the wake of the Avenger movie doing so well, he had, like, I can't remember the exact quote, but he said something like, it's a sick time to be alive when adults, like, adult Americans right now are latching onto the superheroes that were written in the 1950s, that, like, we should be aspiring for something new or something better, which I, like, kind of agree with, but, like, dude, you made your living creating superheroes.
Right. Yeah.
But what happens is, like, that quote gets reblogged and, like, talked about on every forum and Facebook, and, like, and then everybody just, like, at the end, so what happens is, it's like this whisper down the lane thing that ends up happening where they go, he's crazy. He went crazy.
Yeah.
And, in fact, the author that Roland Jordan suggested, Dan Simmons, like, we did, you know, he said that, you know, Dan Simmons went nuts, and, like, we did a little bit of research on it, and it seems like Dan Simmons wrote, like, he wrote a lot of really popular science fiction in, like, the 80s and 90s, and then after 9/11, he wrote an essay called The Time Traveler, where that was like perceived to be like anti-Islam,
right.
Yeah.
Or anti-religion. And everybody went, well, there he goes. He's gone crazy because right. He's gone anti-Islam. Yeah. And it's like, well, wait a minute. Like,
that's a character. Also,
he wrote a work of fiction. Right. Like, it's not
right.
him.
Yeah.
Right.
And like, it doesn't necessarily constitute like a mental break. Like, you
yeah.
don't know him.
Having yeah. an unpopular opinion doesn't mean you're insane.
Exactly. Yeah. Because if it did,
whoopsie,
this is the crazy case.
I think sometimes, you know, when you start thinking about authors that quote unquote went crazy, there's so many of them that had problems in
yeah.
their lives. And for a lot of them, that's what we remember. Like you even said, Van Gogh, like
mm-hmm.
what we all remember about Van Gogh, first and foremost,
he cut his ear off.
Was that he cut
right
his ear
now,
off and
he
went
died,
crazy.
Yeah.
What we all remember first and foremost about Edgar Allan Poe was that
he was a drunk
and they found him in the gutter.
Yeah.
Like that's what we know
yeah.
about him. And I think in the same way you said this has been going on, you know, for as long as there's been editorials,
right.
but I think it's sort of like a reputation thing. Like you screw up once or you get some ill reputation and that's all that people remember of you.
Yeah.
Forever.
Right.
Like
right.
literally forever. This is, we're still talking about these guys.
Yeah.
First and foremost about their afflictions, you know.
I was watching, I saw something on Reddit. It was from Howard Stern. It was Conan O'Brien on Howard Stern. And he said something and I kind of disagreed with it, but I think it's like applicable. He was talking about like stand-up comedians and how there's like a myth.
This is Conan talking.
This is Conan saying
okay.
that there's, as like a comedian, there's a myth that you have to be miserable to be funny. I disagree with it halfway. I think that myth is existent.
Absolutely. Everybody, like after Robin
right.
Williams killed himself, everybody's like, oh, all the clown,
right.
every
yeah.
clown is crying inside.
But
yeah.
I think that it's just part of who you are. I think people who become comedians become that because that's already there in them. Like maybe they're born with
it. Well, but again,
or
I think it's maybe you have, maybe you're like predisposed
right.
to that, but then that lifestyle, that type of work
coaxes it out.
Exactly.
Right. Yeah.
It pushes you over
right.
the edge. Like I think that's why it's such a common theme. It's
right.
like, because there are, I also wanted to touch on like well-adjusted authors, like
yeah.
authors
right.
who are fine, like write
Stephen
weird
King.
Stuff, but
well, actually,
I mean, right?
Yeah. Well,
like,
well, although Stephen King has fought a lot of demons in his life.
Yeah.
He was addicted to heroin. He was a drunk.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like he's fine. I mean, he for all intents. I mean, as far as we know,
well, it's fine though. Yeah. Right.
That's what I mean. Like,
well,
yeah.
he sort of did the opposite of going crazy.
Right.
He sort of, we watched him like
start crazy, yeah.
and become a pretty normal guy with a pretty normal life.
Yeah.
Although it took a nearly fatal
oh, yeah.
car accident,
oh, yeah.
to, like for that to happen.
Yeah, cars.
But I mean, again, like there's lots of authors out there who are perfectly well-adjusted, normal human beings.
Oh, I would say there's just as many.
But
as
they don't immediately come to mind
right.
because what we remember
right.
about these people, unfortunately, is like the worst thing about
them.
That's
a them. Good point. That's a great point.
Well, yeah, because you don't want to talk about normal. Normal's boring,
right? Yeah.
Right? Like nobody's written in and suggested like, talk about really, you know, vanilla authors who have, you know, perfect credit
yeah.
and like
the credit score is in the 700.
We should do that. We should do a show on the credit ratings of authors.
Okay.
But then there's like, so then like, you know, we were talking about like Dan Simmons. Like Dan Simmons wrote that essay, like,
mm-hmm.
and people were like, well, he went crazy. But then you have a guy like Orson Scott Card who wrote the Ender series,
mm-hmm.
who like
got old.
I don't know if
yeah.
crazy is the right word, but is like very like homophobic,
lost touch maybe. But you know, Ender's Game's a little like that too, right? There's a little bit of the anti.
Well, it comes from a religious place from him.
Yeah.
So it's like, you know, is it right? Well, no, is it crazy or is it like,
right.
is he just staying true to his faith? And then you get into the surface
yeah.
of
yeah.
is religion like a mental illness?
I wrote down L. Ron Hubbard.
Yeah.
L. Ron Hubbard.
Oh yeah.
Right.
That
oh,
dude.
Yeah.
He was probably always that way. I mean, like, he was a compulsive liar.
Right.
He was,
yeah.
you know, he said he was in the war. He wasn't.
have you seen?
Oh, yeah.
Going
Clear? Going
Clear,
yeah.
yeah
oh,
yeah,
my God.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Where, like, he just ends up buying his own bullshit and, yeah.
Like, that's crazy. Like, to me, that would be, if there was a one definition for crazy, that would be it.
Well,
that's cultish.
I
like,
kept,
it's
right.
he's created a cult of personality
right.
around himself.
This listener suggestion, I was sort of trying to parse it, like, What exactly was the, thank you, what exactly was the intention? Like, is it authors who were crazy, or was it authors who were, like, well-adjusted at some point and then had a break, and you noticed it in their writing?
That was the impression that I got from what he has
which
said.
Which I sort of came up short, because a lot of the authors, again, like, I don't know, I had a hard time thinking of authors where it was, like, a before and an after.
Right.
Yeah. It's tough to...
Well, because we don't know them, you know what I mean?
Right, like, you don't know the person.
Like, are they good, like, is it a, like, you know, if somebody writes, like, four novels that are very, you know, for all intents and purposes, like, basic, and then the next one is totally surreal and off the wall, couldn't that possibly have been a choice?
Yeah, I mean, couldn't it be, like, just, you know,
a different point of view for their narrative?
A lot of these authors, we say, were under the influence of serious chemicals,
right. Yeah.
And, like, what's crazy? Is it just the chemicals in your brain? Are you born that way?
Like Hemingway. Genetic? Hemingway was a fall down drunk when he was alive.
Yeah.
You know, amazingly well received while he was alive. You know, like a lot of your classics authors, like Herman Melville or F. Scott Fitzgerald, didn't necessarily gain their fame in their lifetime. Mm-hmm. They died in obscurity and then became famous later. But Hemingway was like the toast of the town while he was alive.
Yeah.
And he killed himself.
Yeah.
So it's like when did the break happen? Was he always broken? Did something happen? Like, was fame too much? It's hard, you know, we don't know.
Yeah. Well, then some of these books are made more powerful or, like, more, I don't know, gut-wrenching, knowing, like, a little bit of background about the author. Like, I kept thinking of The Bell Jar and Sylvia Plath.
Right,
like,
yeah.
The Bell Jar is one thing to just read it, but then when you read it and you find out that basically right after the book was released, she killed herself, like... It makes the book way more intense to read, like on its own out of context.
I'm going to say it. I've never read The Bell Jar.
I never have either.
It's kind of one of those books. It's maybe like mostly girls read it, I want to say.
Go on.
Again, I've never
read it. Well, no, but it's like, like Little Women.
Right,
like,
Why would
you guys read Little Women?
It's a novel, right? Like it's.
It is, yeah. Okay. I read a really good... I can't remember.
She didn't... Was it her that stuck her head in the oven,
yes.
Or was that Virginia Woolf?
No, that
I
was,
mixed them
that
up.
That was Sylvia Plath. But it's like...
Virginia Woolf was killed
the
by a wolf.
No, she put stones in her coat and drowned herself. That's what it is.
Yeah.
Really?
Which is pretty awesome.
that is commitment.
I'm sorry, go ahead. The Bell Jar is like about like society and like fitting in and stuff. But it's a pretty depressing read. But it's even more depressing... knowing that, like, literally right after she wrote it, she killed herself.
That's a great point that you brought. Like, I think a lot of these authors feel they don't fit in. I think a lot of times, like, these people are viewed, and, like, I don't know if you're in any kind of entertainment, I think that's what really gets to you. Like, ultimately, people are sort of just like, yeah, you're disposable. What you do is, whatever.
Yeah. It's the Chris Farley thing.
And it gets to you.
Like, Chris Farley, like, you know, Chris Farley did the Chippendale strip thing, and, like, you know, we all felt like we were laughing with him.
Right.
The fact of the matter is, we were all laughing at him. We were laughing at him because he was a big, fat guy.
Yeah.
And he was flopping around with Patrick Swayze, and it was hilarious to watch. But, like, dude, you, like... That hurts. You know what I mean? Like
at
you
some
go back,
level,
you go back to your room at night, to your bedroom, and you look in the mirror and you go, they were laughing at you.
Yeah.
And then you OD on heroin.
Yeah.
Yep.
Philip Seymour Hoffman.
Yeah.
You know,
like a million people. There's like millions of people who like, you know, Kurt Cobain, whoever.
The ones who go in obscurity. Like, I think his name is John Kennedy Toole, who wrote A Confederacy of Dunces, which is all about like this misanthropic lives with his mother kind of character, and I think it won like the Booker Prize, if not the Pulitzer Prize.
Mm-hmm.
Killed himself.
Yeah.
But it's like the only thing he ever wrote, and it like is renowned by everybody as like a work of genius, and they couldn't wait to see what he did next, and what he did next was kill himself.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Man, he went out on top. There's a certain level of that too. There's a certain level
right.
of like you're dying for your art. Like what better
well also
honorable
like,
thing is there?
How can life? I ever how can I like if your first novel wins the Pulitzer Prize, like what are you
going
to do for a follow up?
Yeah.
Armada. Right? If only Ernest Cline. No, I'm not even going to say it. That's too much.
I mean, some of these, again, we don't know these people and we don't know what went
He's
on in their
be
lives. 100. But, like, for instance, Lovecraft had a pretty serious sleep disorder, which now we're sort of realizing was probably night terrors.
Yeah.
It explains a lot about the stuff
yeah,
that
right?
he
Definitely.
Wrote. So,
yeah.
like, could he have done that if he didn't have this probably yeah. pretty debilitating sleep disorder. I don't know.
That's the Stephen King question. Yeah. Like, he was a drunk heroin addict.
Yeah.
And produced some of the greatest material of the horror genre ever.
It's
like chicken and the egg, you know?
Yeah. It's like saying, you know, it's wrong for baseball players to take steroids. But, like, when you take steroids, can you hit home runs? Hell yeah. And if you get real drunk and do heroin and you write a goddamn great book, I would do it.
Yeah.
Like, whatever. You might be killing yourself, but, like, I mean...
So how long did you write on your computer today?
8 heroines worth.
Today on a very special Cracking the Spine.
Josh's manic writing.
We need to talk about Josh.
I can quit anytime I want to.
Welcome back.
Welcome back to episode 29. I also wrote down Philip K. Dick.
He was schizophrenic. Yep.
He was probably legitimately schizophrenic, but he also did crazy drugs.
You know the story of Philip K. Dick and Nikola Tesla, right?
Yeah.
No, I don't know that.
Nikola Tesla, the electrician guy.
Electrician. The plumber.
You know what I mean.
I know what you mean.
Welcome back.
The scientist.
Thank you. What was he? I mean, he worked with electricity. Isn't that an electrician?
Yeah.
You could probably call him an inventor.
There you go.
Yeah.
The inventor.
There was a word.
Okay. Nikola Tesla claims that a lot of the technology that he, created was told to him by a time traveler from the future.
I've heard that.
Philip K. Dick claimed that he talked to Nikola Tesla.
There is a great series on Netflix, I forget the name of it, where they talk about science fiction authors.
Okay.
And he's one of them, and that's one of the best ones, because
I don't necessarily ascribe a whole lot to the theory of time travel,
right?
Or most theoretical science.
Go ahead.
Yeah, you're looking.
This is fun. I'm having fun.
But that's an awesome story.
The
idea that they sort of corroborated each other's alibi.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Right.
Yeah. It's super cool.
Was he schizophrenic, or maybe he was actually traveling through time?
Yeah, and maybe both of them were schizophrenic. I mean, Tesla was not okay.
Well, Tesla was paranoid because he was hunted by Edison's Edison hired Pinkertons to go and destroy his work, and because it was the AC/DC thing,
the AC/DC wars.
you should be on that Tesla.
Don't please just.
I'm an electrician.
Start singing Billy Joel. This is fun. Zane's having fun.
I'm still having fun.
But yeah, so who else do you get? Philip K. Dick.
Virginia.
Kerouac
I had. There was a really great quote by Kerouac where he basically says, I don't like normal people. I like people who are, mad about living and they're,
Right.
I think that sums it up. I think that it's a choice sometimes, you decide to go down that road as an author and you're like, I mean, this is the way I am and I don't want to be any other way. And I think the rest of the world sort of grates on you. I can't speak for them, but just, from my maybe small experience in life, I feel like that sometimes. I hate people who say dumb things like good morning and you gotta say good morning.
Yeah, Josh,
we did that last week. And then there's this other little niche that just recently happened. I mean, it's 10 years, but of people who fake mental illness to publish their books. James Frey, A Million Little Pieces.
Yeah.
Did he fake
He wrote that book, A Million Little Pieces, which is about I think it's about his time in a mental institution.
It never happened. Yeah, yeah.
He was on Oprah had him on. He sold tens of millions of books.
Yeah.
And then it came out that he faked the whole thing. He had to go back on Oprah and apologize. To Oprah.
I remember this.
Thanks, right? Oprah.
It's hard to have a mental illness. Just go get one. We all have them. Why you gotta pretend?
There's a wiki on how to do that.
I also had Tolstoy, the Marquis de Sade.
I said Kurt Vonnegut, PTSD.
Oh, that's a good one.
No, that is a good one.
Also, he did Back to School, which is crazy. That movie's hilarious.
Oh, that's right. He was in that. He didn't write Back to School.
He was in it.
Yeah.
He writes the report on himself.
And another thing, Vonnegut.
and then the teacher is like, whoever wrote this doesn't know shit about Kurt Vonnegut. Maybe the best joke in the whole movie.
Well, I guess we don't have to do our Back to School podcast next week. So the listener who suggested that, you're SOL.
Josh, was that it on your
list? That was at Rodney Dangerfield.
At Rodney Dangerfield. Recommended that from the grave. L. Ron Hubbard, Sylvia Plath, Kurt Vonnegut.
Got it.
Virginia Woolf. I think we covered most of them.
That's it. That's all the crazy authors.
That's all we could think of anyway.
The end.
There's probably crazy authors that wrote and nobody knows about them. Nobody cares about them. And they were probably really sad about that and killed themselves too, you know?
Well, crazy and mental illness right. is such yeah. a weird
yes.
thing because like Scott Lynch, who did The Lies of Locke Lamora and The Gentleman Bastards, in the process of writing, I think it was the third one, had this like really bad anxiety,
yeah,
like
a nervous breakdown.
Social anxiety, yeah. nervous breakdown yeah. to the point that his wife left him. And he's now having a hard time finishing the fourth book because he's been dealing with anxiety. Like, right. does that, I don't know, well, is that what we're...
One of the great things about living in the now times is that we have, like, medical science and we can say, like, well, okay, like, you're schizophrenic or you're manic depressive or you're bipolar. Like, we can put a name to it and we can better understand it. Back in, like, even, like, the 50s,
right.
people were just like, that dude's crazy.
He's possessed or he's, yeah, like, he's lock him in a yeah. home kind
so
of stuff, yeah.
Maybe, like... Nowadays, it's less likely that you'll have an author that in the middle of their career just snaps either for, mental illness or, a change of...
No, I think what ends up happening is either, like, there's a couple, like, paths that go on. Either they seek help and treatment and get it.
Or they kill themselves.
Or they kill themselves. Like,
right,
yeah, I mean...
I think what Josh's point was that, like, you're more likely to be diagnosed and treated and taken care of.
Yeah.
So maybe it's less likely that we'll have these, iconic,
this
like,
legendary
oh,
right.
flame
out kind
yeah.
of thing. Yeah.
I think as a consumer of entertainment, novels, movies, books, whatever, music, you know, like, you can be a human being and say, like, okay, well, that guy had a nervous breakdown. Like, I understand that. I cannot, like, it's not like,
right.
whoa, what's right. wrong with that guy? You
yeah.
know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
you can understand.
Well, you're
somebody,
right. Society, it gives you more leeway right. for that kind of
right.
thing.
And people who don't, I think that's where, like, the shittiness of calling somebody crazy comes in.
Right.
right? Like,
yeah.
like, you can be a person and say, like, yeah, like, you know, who hasn't had crazy anxiety about their job? Like,
mm-hmm.
everyone who works has crazy anxiety about their job.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I don't know.
Probably not Donald Trump.
No, he probably. Well, he hates himself.
All right, I think that's probably gonna. I don't think you can get any more mentally ill than Donald Trump at this point. So let's go ahead and take a little break and come back and bring it home for this episode, Cracking the Spine.
29.
Welcome back. Welcome
Buddy.
Back.
Oh, man.
We didn't talk about it.
Seamless.
Welcome back.
How do we do?
Again, welcome back.
How did we do?
Roland Jordan, at Roland Jordan. Was that everything you would hope for when you told us that that's what we should talk about?
Oh.
I'll bet it is.
And then some.
Who do we miss? Because I'm sure we missed a lot of crazies out there.
A lot
us,
of crazies.
Tell us who your favorite crazy is.
Or is there one author that you immediately think of as, like, having a mental break in the middle of their career?
Yeah.
Maybe it was reflected in their
I
work.
I was going to say reflected in the work, which
yeah.
is something I don't know that we necessarily hit
I
on.
I had trouble thinking of an
yeah.
example, frankly.
It's tough to say.
I did a search of, like,
yeah.
authors that went crazy, and it was all, like, it was just, like, seven authors who killed themselves.
Right.
It was, like,
suicidal
yeah,
authors.
Exactly, yeah.
yeah.
And, so thanks again for the suggestion, and
yeah.
we've got a really good like slate of suggestions coming up from people. So
but we always are looking for more.
I was gonna say, but feel free to send in new ones. We've you've already got the addresses from earlier, so you can hit us up on any of those things. And
Twitter, Facebook, email book.
We already did it earlier, Josh.
Re-ashing it.
Re-ashing it.
Re-ashing.
All right. Thanks for the re-ash.
You're welcome.
So come on back next week for a more interesting conversation where we'll welcome you back to Cracking the Spine. And stick around for the dramatic reading because it's going to be, it's going to help you get to normal.
Get to normal.
Mm-hmm. Thanks for listening.
But when it's time, light will shine. Just close your eyes and I'll close mine. Listen as your day unfolds, challenge what the future holds, try and keep your head up to the sky.
And now, with our special reading, is Sean reading Take Two, Your Guide to Creating Happy Endings and New Beginnings by Lisa Gibbons.
You gotta be bad, you gotta be bold, you gotta be wiser.
Page 234, entitled, Beyonce, Can You Feel Me?
Yeah.
She's here.
One of my favorite fashion moments came at the Soul Train Awards. I was presenting an award for the show, and my hairstylist, Hollywood hair guy Dean Banowitz, and I decided to go all out. Parentheses. Remember, I talked about Dean earlier and his gig with the Styler?
I remember that from earlier.
Close parentheses. I love working and playing with Dean. He always inspires me to reach and stretch my limits of prefab beauty.
What's that mean?
For this ceremony, we figured, if not here, where?
Good point, Lisa.
So he whipped out some magenta-colored extensions along with some colorful feathers for my waist-length hair. Mind you, this was way before extensions became de rigueur and before feathers were a common accessory.
She's a trailblazer.
Wait, so this was like 1919?
Julie Kozak, my longtime wardrobe stylist and dear friend,
IMDb these people,
had me in a pair of leather pants and a long duster coat over a sequined halter top.
Was she trying out for Under Siege 3?
Yep. My dream of becoming one of the Supremes had come true.
Oh, boy.
I got mixed reviews from the Fashion Brigade. But backstage, Beyonce, parentheses, who was then part of Destiny's Child, close parentheses, told me my hair was fierce and I felt redeemed.
Because being happy is all about how other people perceive you.
Exactly.
And especially if you're female, about your looks. Yes.
From the author, over the years, Lisa has become known as a trusted girlfriend, valued confidant, and source of inspiration and information to empower women to show up for their lives with confidence and pride. Whether it's her scrapbook line honoring the value of memories, her jewelry collection to symbolize transformation,
ka-ching,
buy it, or her beauty products to reveal inner and outer beauty,
ka-ching,
buy it, Lisa develops programs and products to help women claim their strength and rewrite the story of their lives.
Oh my god.
So Zane, rewrite the story of your life.
Zane, I want you to show up for your life for once.
Why don't you
suck my dick?
Got to be wise.